Yeah, this is a work.
Not yet.
No? Maybe?
Yeah.
Okay, thanks. Yeah, my name is Christian Martin, and in this talk, I will tell you what the celebrity team did about you in the last year. If you can't properly see the screen, the URL here on the bottom, these are the signs. So this is more or less a continuation of the talk I gave at DEF CON 4. Less gas, more fun, optimizing smart contracts to you. It's not a problem if you haven't seen that talk, just for context. In that talk, I explained how we wanted to leverage an intermediate language called Euro, so that the Solidity compiler has better readable code generator and algorithm optimizer, and in general more flexibility towards which backend we compile. So for example, Euro can be compiled to EVM, to EWASM, EVM 1.5, or I don't know, maybe LVM. And on the bottom here you can see some example Euro code. It's an allocation, or it's a standard Solidity allocator, memory allocator. And I think it's rather obvious what it does, and easy to read. At least if you know some of the ABM code. Okay, what did we do? So this was basically a recap of the talk of last year. What happened after that? We started the rewrite of the Solidity code generator to you, and we're kind of halfway there. This will be the first third of the talk. Then I will tell you how you can generate EWASM code from Solidity. And the last part will be about the UR2. Okay, the code generator. We are actually quite far with that. We had to stop at some point because we want to release Solidity 0.6.0 soon with new features and breaking changes. We are, it is possible to compile the ERC20 contract, so general ERC20 contract written in Solidity, including mappings, events require, and whatever is necessary. The new code generator has a breaking change, that is that it will automatically revert on arithmetic overflow. The current code generator only reverts on division by zero and similar things, and the new code generator will also revert on multiplication and additional overflow. And the main reason why we didn't do that for the old code generator is because it, these checks will have branches, and the old optimizer cannot really follow the code there. But the new optimizer, we'll see in the third part of this talk. And it was also much easier to write the code generator using Euro, because it might actually look like that, but Euro does not have the concept of stack. It only has local variables, and there's a rather direct translation from the local variables to a stack machine. But in general, you do not need to worry about the stack layout. So there is one of the most complex parts in the Solidity code generator is external function calls, because the call output has so many parameters. And it also depends whether you call a library or a regular function, or whether you specify the gas, or whether you specify the value, and so on. So there is different ways to use the call opcode, and all the time you have to keep track of where everything is on the stack in the old code generator. And the new code generator just reference stuff by their name, so it's just gas as a variable. And Another thing is that, so when the old code generator, we forgot to or did not yet implement a certain feature, but by accident the stack layout is correct, then this will lead to code that is actually generated and will of course do something invalid. In the new code generator, sub-expressions are always referenced by their identifier, and if the code generation of that sub-expression is not implemented, then the identifier will just not exist in the UL code, so we have an additional level of checks on the intermediate language, and this will be detected and removed. Okay, how can you actually use it? I will only show you how to use it on the command line. The standard JSON also works, but it's more complicated on the screen here. So C minus minus IR will generate UL code from the Solidity code, and for safety reason, we do not support a direct translation from Solidity through UL to EVM because it's still in an experimental stage. So you have to, copy the output of the first stage and then rerun the Solidity compiler in assembly mode and then transform the UL code to EVM bytecode. Let's take a look at how that then looks in practice. So this is an example ERC20 contract, or a part of an ERC20 contract. We have an event, we have the mapping of the balances, total supply, and a mint function that generates tokens, which is called in the constructor. So the sender gets 20 coins. And the mint function starts with this require call, so the address to mint 2 cannot be the zero address. And then total supply balances is modified and the transfer event is emitted. Now, we compile that to UL, and so this is not the code directly generated by the code generator, but this is the code after optimization. I think it's really nice that this is still nicely readable. At least I would say let's get into the detail and then you will see. you see that it still has expressions and you would even see the mint function call here and you would recognize the name mint. The issue here is just that the mint function in the init context is only called once, and because of that, it's of course inline, and so the function is gone. It starts with initializing the memory allocator. Then we have the call value check. So because the constructor is not tabled, and then the second thing here is the require that the address we mint to is not zero, and. You actually see the error string here. That's too dark. ERC20 mint to the zero address. This block here is the require call, and then we update the total supply. This is a comment I added manually. You take the stuff that is take the data that is currently at storage location 2. You add 20 and you store it again. Now it calls a user-defined function called checkAdd. This is the overflow check I was talking about earlier, and that is one of the two functions that is not visible on the screen here. And the rest of the code is all there is to the constructor. So this is the full constructor code, missing two small functions. And now we update the balances. So this is still a kind of a problem. There is a function called mapping index access t mapping and so on. It's a little bit longer. So the reason is that this is the index access helper function for storage mappings, and the name is generated from the type. And I think we still have to come up with a way to shorten it, so it's better readable. And another issue here is you see that mapping index access. The function I was just talking about, it's called here, and it's also called here again with the same parameters. Usually the optimizer is able to combine that and call it only once. The problem here is that it calls the catch-up function, which works on memory. Because of that, it has to access the memory, and the optimizer cannot yet recognize that writing this stuff, so the stuff that is written in the first call and the stuff that is written in the second call, they do not conflict because it's exactly the same. So they write to the same memory location. Because of that, it can't really swap them, but it should detect that it's actually the same stuff that is written. Okay, let me speak a little. Yeah, talking about bytecode size, I'm not sure if you can compare these numbers with the earlier talk, because this is 256 Git EVM code, and I think it's also a lot more of ERC20 than there was in the WebAssembly challenge. But we can compare the compiler that goes via YUL and the compiler that does not go via YUL. So the current compiler takes 1,747 bytes. That's a bit unfair because it does not include overflow checks. If we add the overflow checks, it's 1,805. And if you do that via YUL, it's 2,162. So it shows there is still some work to do. Actually, I did not yet find the time to see where it has these additional bytes. So it might be just an easy fix. Okay, WebAssembly. Similar to solc minus minus IR, you can use solc minus minus ewasm. It will, so, and this will actually generate ewasm text representation in one run. The thing is, it's not tested at all. it cannot yet deploy contract. It's not tested yet at all because we couldn't yet find a good execution environment we can run it against. And it cannot yet deploy contracts, and the reason for that is that we have not implemented the transform from WebAssembly text representation to WebAssembly binary representation, and you need that for actually deploying the contract. So, because it needs to return the binary the binary representation. Okay, how does the compiler to ewasm work? It takes the regular EVM YUL code, so it starts exactly at the point where the solidity to YUL to EVM compiler went. And so you have to transform 256-bit code to 64-bit code. And this is done by splitting all the YUL variables into four variables. And at that point, we have some kind of a mix of WebAssembly YUL dialect and EVM YUL dialect, because we still use the EVM opcodes, but we already use 64-bit variables. And then we add kind of a library code that implements all EVM opcodes as user-defined functions using the EVM built-in the ewasm built-in functions. And at that point, we have ewasm flavored YUL, and we run the regular optimizer. We also run on EVM YUL with slight modifications because we have different built-in functions. And it turns out that we are able to reuse almost all of the components of the EVM YUL optimizer, and it generates a kind of pretty straightforward transformation, I would say. Let's take a look at a specific example. We just store the current block gas limit at position zero in memory. I have to warn you, because of the 256-bit, 64-bit thing, this will look a little bit complicated. What we do is gas limit returns a 256-bit value, so we have to split that into four variables, and that's what is done here in the beginning. So we call gas limit and assign it to four variables, and then we call mstore, that is the kind of pseudo hybrid EVM ewasm function that takes eight parameters, so four for the address and four for the value. And then we add the implementations of the EVM opcodes in using WebAssembly built-in. So gaslimit, for example, just calls eth.get block gaslimit. And then mstore, a way to perform endian swapping, because WebAssembly is a lit ending machine, but everything else is a lit ending machine. Okay, this looks really complicated, but if you apply the optimizer, then it will, of course, inline the gaslimit call here, and also remove all the other variables we don't need anymore. And also the mstore, it has tons of constants here, so it probably makes sense to also inline that. And then it will look like this. Only the endian swap is left, more or less. Okay, now third part of the talk, what we did on the UN optimizer. All components of the optimizer take UL code, transform it, and output UL code again. So it's no reduction in expressivity or something like that. So all the modules are simple and can be combined in an arbitrary way. If all the modules are correct, then the whole optimizer is correct. It turned out that we need a little bit more modules than we initially thought. We currently have roughly 25. But most of the modules are really, really tiny. And there are only 2 to 3 components that really store opaque data structures. So 3 minutes, okay, let's speed up a little bit. So for example, the conditional simplifier, we still have to come up with another name for that module, it takes a look at branches. So for example, if C stopped, the body of this if always terminates. So after the body, you know that C is false or zero. So the only thing that this does is it injects assignments of this form after terminating branches. And other modules in the optimizer can pick that up and use that information. But the information is visible in the code. It's not stored in some data structure you would have to look into and verify if there's some error. Let's skip that and talk about the plans for the future. Memory types, we already saw that we have some problems with memory. This will hopefully be solved by adding memory chunks as a built-in type into U. That way, different memory stores to different data structure are fully independent because it uses kind of a different handle to access memory. Also, we're thinking about adding a super optimizer, so an optimizer that takes a really long time and tries to really crunch the numbers and find a good way to optimize the code. And that can maybe have shortcuts if you want to recompile stuff, that it's faster. And we're thinking about adding a genetic algorithm to find a good order for applying the steps. So as I already said, each step individually should be correct. The order doesn't matter for correctness, but it matters for efficiency. And it's kind of hard to manually come up with a good order to apply them, so we want to find a generic way to come up with a good sequence of these. I'm not sure if it's the time for questions, but thanks for your attention.